from John chapter 6, verse 37. I'll read the text and then proceed with the introduction. In John 6, 37, the scripture says, all. Now, these folks had just let the Lord Jesus Christ know that they weren't impressed. They weren't impressed. He said, you don't believe me. You don't believe me. But all that my Father giveth me shall come to me. All that my Father giveth me shall come to me. There's no doctrine in the whole Word of God, not one, that has generated more hatred among religious people. Now, not especially people of the world, but church people. There's no doctrine in the Word of God that has generated more hatred among religious people than the truth of God's absolute sovereignty in all things. Now let this be established, and everyone will have to agree. The fact that the Lord God reigneth is indisputable. Is that correct? The Lord God reigneth. That's indisputable. God reigns. The scripture says in Psalm 99, the Lord reigneth. The Lord ruleth. Let the people tremble. The Lord sitteth between the cherubims. Let the earth be moved. That's indisputable. God reigns. Nebuchadnezzar said, the Lord reigns in the armies of heaven and among the inhabitants of the earth, and giveth it to whomsoever he will. None can stay his hand or say unto him, what are you doing? None. Isaiah said, and I wish you'd turn to this scripture, Isaiah 46. Listen to this. Isaiah 46, we'll begin our reading with verse 9. And Isaiah wrote, remember, Isaiah chapter 46, verse 9, remember, the former things of old, I am God. There is none else, I am God. There's none like me. I declare the end from the beginning, and from ancient times the things that are not yet done, saying, my counsel shall stand, and I will do all my pleasure. Calling a ravenous bird from the east, the man that executeth my counsel from a far country, yea, I have spoken it, I will also bring it to pass, I purposed it, I'll do it. Is that true? That's an indisputable fact. The Lord God omnipotent reigneth. He reigns in heaven. He reigns on the earth. David said, he doeth according to his will. He doeth as he pleases in heaven, earth, the seas, and all deep places. Now, one other scripture. I would like you to look at this. The book of Psalms. The book of Psalms, chapter 2. Now listen to this, Psalm chapter 2. This is an indisputable fact that I'm establishing. The Lord reigns. The Lord ruleth. Why do the heathen rage? Psalm 2 verse 1. Why do the people imagine a vain thing? The kings of the earth set themselves, the rulers of the earth take counsel together against the Lord, against his anointed, the Lord Jesus, saying, let's break their bands asunder. We won't have this man reign over us. Let's cast away their cords from us. He that sitteth in the heaven shall laugh. He that sitteth in the heaven shall laugh. The Lord shall have them in derision. Then shall he speak unto them in his wrath and vex them, trouble them in his sore displeasure. The Lord reigns. That's indisputable. Who art thou to reply against God? All right, secondly, I want personally, speaking for myself, I want to be among those who know the living God as he's revealed in his word. I want to know him. I want to be among those who willingly and humbly bow before his majesty. I want to bow. I don't mean at the judgment. I mean before the judgment. I want to believe him. One of the hymn writers says, God is the king of power unknown. Firm are his decrees. Firm is his throne. If he purposes, who shall dare oppose or ask him why or what he does? Now listen to this. Here's the third thing. God has a right. Now I want you to listen to this. Some man, one of the men in the study, Jim Eccles, prayed that I could preach the gospel tonight. This is the very foundation on which that gospel is gloriously displayed. God has the right to act as he will, when he will, and through whom he will, because, number one, he's the creator, Charlie. That gives him that right. He said, can I not do with my own what I will? I made it. It's mine. I will dispose of it as I please. Is that not true? He's the creator. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. It rested with God whether to make a world or not make a world. Listen to the book of Colossians chapter 1. Listen to what this says so clearly. Colossians chapter 1, beginning with verse 16. Colossians 1, 16. It says, for by him were all things made, created, that are in heaven, earth, visible and invisible. Whether they be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers, all things were created by him and Tom, for him. For him. You listening? God has the right to do what he will, when he will, with whom he will, Charlie, because he made it. It's his. Don't tell me what I can do with my own. It's mine. I want to burn it up. That's my business. I made it. It's mine. Revelation 4:11. Listen to this. Revelation chapter 4, verse 11. Thou art worthy, O Lord. Thou art worthy to receive glory and honor and power. For thou hast created all things, and for thy pleasure they are and were created. That's fact, Jerry. He made it. It's his business what he does with it. He has the right as the creator to do what he will with his own. Hath not the potter power over the clay? It rested with God to make the world or not make it. It rested with God to make man or not make it. It was according to his will to make one creature a worm and another an eagle. That's right. Thinking about that the other day, we went fishing up in, we really went fishing. We caught 130, about 5 hours. They were pretty good size, too. But we had some of those night crawlers, worms. And one of the boys looked up and he said, I saw an eagle right over there the other day. And I thought as I held that worm in my hand, a lot of difference in a worm and an eagle. Who made the difference? God did. Rested totally with him. It's by his decree that you're a female and he's a male. It's by God's decree. You are what you are because God made you what you are. It's by his decree to make one walk on the earth and another swim in the sea. It's by his own will and decree that one's born in Russia and one's born in China and you's born in the USA. I'm always so glad that plane touches down in the United States. And your physical body short, tall, fat, lean, your mental capacity, your temperament, your talents, and your gifts
are determined by Almighty God. That's right.
Shall the thing formed say to him that formed it, why'd you make me like this? If you want proof of that, turn to 1 Samuel 2. Don't tell me any of this is by chance. It's not by chance. It's by choice. God's choice. Somebody said, every believer ought to read Hannah's prayer at least once a week. 1 Samuel 2, verse 1, Hannah prayed and said, my heart rejoices in the Lord. My horn is exalted in the Lord. My mouth is enlarged over mine enemies because I rejoice in thy salvation. There's none as holy, none holy as the Lord, for there's none beside thee. Neither is there any rock like our God. Talk no more so exceeding proudly. Let not arrogancy come out of your mouth, for the Lord is a God of knowledge, and by him actions are weighed. The bows of the mighty men are broken, and they that stumble are girded with strength. They that were full have hired out themselves for bread, and they that were hungry ceased, so that the barren hath borne seven, and she that hath many children is waxed feeble. The Lord kills, and the Lord makes alive. The Lord brings down to the grave and bringeth up. The Lord maketh poor. The Lord maketh rich. The Lord bringeth low. The Lord lifteth up. Who does these things? God does. He's the creator. The Lord is king. Who then shall dare to resist his will or distrust his care? Or murmur at his wise decrees, or doubt his steadfast promises. The Lord is king, child of the dust. The judge of all this earth is just. Holy and righteous are all his ways. So let every creature sing his praise. All right, now listen to me. That's the stat. Those are indisputable facts. If I don't say anything else, I've said something tonight. The Lord is an indisputable, absolute, sovereign monarch who reigns over all his creation because he made it. Secondly, God has the right to do, what's this now, to do what he will, when he will, with whom he will, not only because he's the creator of all things, and it belongs to him by those rights of creation, but he has the right to do with you and me what he will because he's the judge of this earth. He's the judge. He's the judge, not a judge, the judge. Now, illustration. This is highly important right here. Change your whole way of thinking if you see this. Here's what I'm saying. The Constitution of the United States of America, of which I'm a citizen, guarantees me freedom. The right to go where I please, live where I please, work where I please, and do as I please so long as I don't offend or break the laws. Is that correct? That's correct. Constitution guarantees me the right to live where I want to. I can live. If I want to move to Florida, Wisconsin, I can do it. I can go where I please as long as I don't break the law. But if I commit a murder, or if I commit a robbery, or if I commit treason, I lose my freedom. And I am brought under the law. And I'll be put in prison with other criminals. And then the judge is going to determine my future. My future is no longer in my hands. I've forfeited my right. Is that correct? My future is in the hands of the man who sits on the bench. He has a book before him that lets him know the maximum he can give me. That's right. All right. The law of God The law of God is the law of the universe. And the law of God says, do this and live. That's all there is to it. Obey God, mind God, worship God, live perfectly before God, walk in holiness before God, and you can bring before God the claim to freedom. That's right. You got the right. But if you sin, you're no longer free. You're now under the law. And your case rests in the hands of the judge. Is that right? You're not going to tell him where you're going to live and what you're going to do. That's right. No more. You could have. If you had walked perfectly before God, if you hadn't been guilty of murdering his only begotten son, that's what you did. You murdered God's son. And you committed treason against the king. And you've lost your freedom. Every son of Adam's lost his freedom. And he's now in the hands of the judge. The trial's over. You're not on probation. God said the soul that sinneth will die. The soul that obeyeth shall live. What saith the law of Moses? Do this and live. And be free. Go where you will. Go to heaven if you will. But once you break the law, you're not free anymore. You're now under condemnation. And you're now in the hands of a judge who said, I will by no means clear the guilty. Isn't that what he said? You're in the hands of a judge who said over and over again, the soul that sinneth, it shall surely die. The judge of the earth will do right. He's not like these judges we got on our benches. Coddle criminals, set free criminals, put them on the street after they ought to be in the lecture chair. No, sir, this judge will do right. His judgments are just. And the soul that sinneth will surely, as God's in heaven, die. I guarantee you, they're going to die. We're going to die. What claim do you have on God? Just come on, bring it forward. You have as much claim on God as that rapist and murderer has who's sitting down there on death's row. You know what kind of claim he's got? None. And that's how much claim you got in heavenly places. None. You've forfeited it. So I say, secondly, first of all, God has the right to do what he will with everybody here and everybody in this world and everything in this world. Every bolt of lightning and floating cloud and drop of rain and snowflake and every creature, fowl and fish and whatever, and every son of Adam, because he made it. He made it. It's his. And secondly, he's got a right to do with you what he will, because you're a criminal on death's row who is a traitor, a murderer, and a thief, and a robber, and a liar. You tried to tear up God's kingdom. And you've lost all your claims to freedom. You're in the hands of a judge who must do right. Now then, God has a right to put us away in condemnation. But, what I've said so far is so. Whether this generation likes it or not, it's so. But if the living God, if the sovereign living God is pleased in his own counsel and purpose and will and good pleasure, and in his love and mercy, if he's pleased, and if he wills, and if he sees fit to pardon and justify and set free of people out of our race. Now watch it. Consistent with his principles of justice, righteousness, and truth.
then he's got the right to do it, hasn't he? If he wants to. If he wants to.
I say, if he can save a people, if he can pardon and justify and set free and redeem and deliver a people, I say, consistent with his justice, with his holiness and righteousness, he can do it. If he will. He doesn't have to, but he can. God can do what he will. And he always does what's right. Do you know that? He always does what's right. And this is what Paul addresses in Romans 3. Will you turn over there a minute? This is what I'm talking about here is the very thing that Paul looks in the eye in Romans 3 and deals with. We forfeited any claim on God, heaven or salvation. We forfeited any claim to freedom. But if God, consistent with his justice, consistent with his holiness, consistent with his truth, is pleased to have mercy upon somebody, then he can do it. It says here in Romans 3:19, now this is what Paul addresses. Now we know this. This is so, that what things soever the law saith, it saith to them who under the law. That's you and me. We've forfeited our claim, so let every mouth be stopped. There's no plea. There's no appeal. And all the world just become guilty, subject to the judgment of God. That's what it says in the margin. Guilty before God. Before whom? Before God. He's the judge. Therefore, by the deeds of the law, the works of the flesh, there shall no flesh be justified in God's sight, for by the law is the knowledge of sin. But, wait a minute, now, the holiness of God, and I said it, Mike, it must be consistent with his holiness and consistent with his justice. But now the righteousness of God without the law, without our obedience to the law, is manifested, being witnessed by the law and the prophets. It's even the righteousness of God, which is by faith of Jesus Christ, unto all and upon all them that believe. For there's no difference. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God, but being freely justified, or justified freely by his grace through the redemption that's in Christ Jesus, whom God has set forth or foreordained to be a propitiation through faith in his blood, to declare God's righteousness for the remission of sins that have passed through the forbearance of God, and to declare, I say at this time, God's righteousness, that he might be just and the justifier of him which believeth in Jesus. Will you hear me? In Christ, through Christ's perfect life as a man, fulfilling God's holy law, through Christ's death and atonement on that cross, Almighty God, according to his own will and purpose and good pleasure, has made a way by which he can honor, satisfy, and glorify all the claims of his inflexible justice and his inflexible holiness, and yet bestow mercy on the guilty. Now then, let me go over that. I want you to observe three rights which belong to God, only to God. Three rights. And learn something about the living God. You know, Job said one time, Lord, I've heard of you. And there's nobody here that hadn't heard of God. And there's nobody that'll hear this tape that hadn't heard of God. But whether or not we've heard of the living God depends upon the knowledge of the one who's telling us about him. Man can't tell what he doesn't know. So these are the rights of God, the God of the Bible, the living God. Number one, as creator, all sovereign rights belong to God. Hath not the potter power over the clay? Number two, as the supreme, one and only judge of the universe, he has not only the right but the requirement to punish the guilty.
He must punish sin. He must.
And he must put all evil where it'll do no more harm. He must, being God. He's got to put evil out of the universe. I tell you, you have enough evil, and I have enough evil in my heart to destroy that new heaven and new earth. Do you know that? Part of you say, God's not going to let you in heaven in the shape you're in. Why, you'd start a revolt
in heaven. You'd ruin it. God,
see, there's nothing there that worketh or maketh a lie. It's God's kingdom wherein dwelleth righteousness. And you don't
have the equipment. You can't meet the requirements. I'm sorry, I can't either. No human being can.
God's got to judge us like we are. But, now wait a minute. In his divine wisdom, as the originator of the everlasting covenant, as the founder of that covenant of mercy and grace, as the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, as the giver, the merciful giver of his only begotten Son, as the fountain of every grace, God has the right to show mercy in Christ
to whom he will. Do you know that? Now, wait a minute.
If we have a claim on God's gift,
it's not a gift. Right? If we have a claim
on God's gift, it's not a gift. If we have a claim on mercy, it's not mercy. If we have one single claim on God's grace, it's not grace. If any man by his works or by his merit deserves to be saved,
then salvation is not by grace, it's by works.
Moses says, show me your glory, God. He said, I'll make all my goodness pass before you. I will be merciful to whom I will be merciful. And I will be gracious to whom I will be gracious. That's his right. That's his right. If any man, listen to me, if any man, woman, boy, or girl, comes to God, this God of the Bible, sovereign creator, judge, and redeemer, if any man comes to God expecting to receive of him any favor, because of any right, merit, claim, worth, or work, he comes to this God
on a false foundation. And this God will not tolerate it for one moment. Not this God. I'm telling you the truth.
You'll come empty-handed, or don't come. The hymn writer said, here I raise mine Ebenezer. Hither by thy help I'm come, and I hope by God's good pleasure safely to arrive at home. Jesus sought me when a stranger, wandering willingly from the fold of God, and he, to restore me from danger, interposed his own precious blood. Oh, to grace how great a debtor daily I'm constrained to be. Lord, let thy goodness, like a fetter, bind my wandering heart to thee. I'm prone to wander, Lord, I feel it. Prone to leave the God I love. Here's my heart, take it, seal it. Seal it for thy courts above. You know that's so? God has the right, as creator, to dispose of all that he's made as he will. God has the right, as judge, to deal with us in accordance with his holiness and justice. But as a sovereign redeemer, out of the good mercy of his own heart, if he's pleased through the righteousness of his son to save
one here and one there, then he's got the right to do it and to pass by the others. That's right.
Now, some call this high doctrine from which they turn away in hate. Some call it heresy. I call it high doctrine and good hope. Good hope. In fact, that's where the hope is. Not in you. It's in him. My hope's not in the fact that I won't change. I will. My hope's in the fact he won't change. He can't. My hope's not in the fact that I'll keep loving him. My hope's in the fact that he'll never stop loving me. You're a fool to hope in anything else. I don't know about tomorrow, but I know who holds tomorrow. And that's my hope. I call this high doctrine and sweet assurance. I call it high doctrine and good news. But watch it. Sure, it's high doctrine. It's as high as the throne of God. But now, wait a minute. It is
from that throne that all blessings come. So we better get some high doctrine, hadn't we?
If your doctrine doesn't reach to the throne, you better get you some more doctrine. Somebody said, don't preach that high doctrine. Oh, yeah, I want to get up there where the throne is. That's what's wrong now, that they're not preaching any high doctrine, see? So they're preaching this low-down stuff. God says, you thought I was altogether such a one as you. You reached up and tried to bring me down to your level, and that won't work. You better get those folks up here where I am and let them look around. Sure, it's high doctrine, as high as the throne of God, but it's from that throne that mercy comes. Let us come boldly before the throne of grace that we may find mercy to help in time of need. Sure, it's high doctrine. It's as high as the throne of God, but I'll tell you this, you're going to stand at that throne someday.
Be better to stand there this Wednesday night in August 1986 than to stand there then. Sure, it's high.
Sure, it's high. Sure, it's high doctrine. But I tell you this, it's true. It has to be high to have anything to do with God. Because the scripture says he's high and lifted up, and his train filled the temple. Now turn to our text again in John 6, and I'll let you go. Here's some of that high doctrine. And the Lord Jesus said, all that my Father giveth me shall come to me. In other words, there's some folks out of our race that are going to be saved. And secondly, you know why they're going to be saved?
Two reasons. The Father willed it, and they come to the Son. That's right.
The Father willed it, and the Son performed it. And so this is true, too. Then if I come to Christ, I must be one of the elect.
That's the evidence I'm one of the elect, because I came to Christ.
We know we've passed from death into life, John says, because we love the brethren. All right, look at the next line. And him that cometh to me, I'll in no wise cast out for any reason under any circumstances. If you come to me, I'll never cast you out. Everybody who comes to Christ has one common character. They come to Christ. That's what we got in common. We came to Christ. They have one common goal. They come to Christ. Some walk and some run. Some take longer. Some come out of the gutter and come some kind out of the pulpit. But they all came to Christ. Common goal. That's right. They have one common need. They came for help.
Mercy and bread.
And they have one common result.
He'll never cast them out. I read this today out of one of the old hymnals by Joseph Hart. It says, now listen to this. This is good. What makes mistaken men afraid of sovereign grace to preach? The reason, if truth be said, is because they are so proud. Why so offensive in men's eyes does God's election seem? Because they think themselves so wise that they must have chosen him. Why is imputed righteousness a truth so little known? Because men think they all possess a righteousness of their own. Election? 'Tis a word divine. The Lord, I plainly see, had not your choice preceded mine, I'd have never chosen thee. So empty, bare, I come to thee for righteousness divine. O Lord, may life and merit be by imputation mine. His counsel stands forever sure, immortal and divine, and justice, mercy, truth, and power unite in Christ to make it mine. Isn't that good? High doctrine. What's so high about that? They mean by high, impossible to enter into. But it's not at all, is it? Not at all. It's giving God the glory, which is rightfully his.